It's Resurrection Sunday this morning, and it's so good to be with you all. If you thought you were going to get out of a message, you were wrong. So, but don't worry, be happy, because I just want to share one thing with you this morning real quick, but I just feel it's so important that we discuss what really took place on the first Resurrection Sunday. Our entire faith is built around the fact that Jesus died, but not only that he died, that he rose again from the dead. This is so powerful. And let me get up there so I can get into my notes real quick this morning. I just want to thank you all for coming out on this beautiful Sunday morning. Isn't it a beautiful day? Amen. What I want to do is, before I share with you a few things about the resurrection, I just want to go in scripture to that story. That morning they found the empty grave. And it's such an important story in our faith, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But in order for you to truly understand the resurrection story, you must read all the Gospels, because there are parts of the story in each Gospel that make you understand the full picture. But in John's Gospel, there's a beautiful picture of what happened when Mary and his disciples arrived at the tomb. And I want to share this with you this morning. Let's go to John 20, verse number 1. John 20, verse number 1. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.'" The first thing I want you to see is when Mary got to the disciples, she was fully persuaded that the Lord's body had been removed from the tomb. She did not yet know that he had risen from the dead. This is so powerful, because I believe that even today there are many people that believe that Jesus died, but don't fully believe that he rose from the dead. And it's so important that we fully grasp this. But understand that even those that walked with him did doubt this. Let's go back to the story. Pick it up in verse number 3. It says, "Peter therefore went and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter that came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scriptures, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes." Don't forget, at the beginning of the story, we see that Mary goes and calls them to tell them that the body has been removed. When they arrive at the tomb, they go into the tomb and they see that the tomb is empty. The Bible tells us that they believed, and there's a lot of debate about what they fully believed at that moment. Some believe that because of the folded cloths they believed that Jesus had risen, and that's definitely possible. But the thing is that the way the Bible describes them leaving and what proceeds to happen with Mary would suggest that more than likely they believed that his body had been removed. So they had not yet fully believed that he had actually risen. So let's take a look at what it says from there. Remember, it says in verse 10 that the disciples went away again to their own homes. "But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." So again, we see clearly here that she was still very much in doubt as to what had actually happened to the body of Jesus. It seems as though she thought that the body had been removed by someone. And the Bible tells us that these were two angels, but I don't know that she knew that they were two angels. In fact, I would be more likely to believe that she just thought they were two men that were in the tomb and wanted to know what's happened to the body of Jesus. Verse 14, "And now when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.'" So again, we see here that Mary, even looking at Jesus, believes that this is the gardener. Wants to know what's happened. But when Jesus said to her, "Mary," the Bible says that she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. In other words, in that moment, man, I would do anything to have been there in that moment. When she had gone from wondering where the body was to recognizing the voice of Jesus, recognizing that he was no longer dead but alive, recognizing that what was about, or not, probably not even recognizing what was busy taking place. See, what you don't maybe realize is that 2,000 plus years later, here we are gathered together on Resurrection Sunday, and the reason why is because Jesus has risen from the grave. Jesus said to her in verse 17, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Can you imagine what it must have been like for her when she ran back to the disciples and said, "Listen, it wasn't the gardener. It was the Lord. I spoke to him. I wanted to touch him. I would have wanted to touch him too. But I couldn't, because he said that I have to still go to be with the Father. I saw him, guys." And the reality is that we see from Scripture that they still didn't even believe. What had to happen was he had to show them his hands and his feet. And even then there was doubt. But eventually there was just no question that Jesus had risen from the grave. You see, the truth is that our salvation and what makes us different to any other religion is that Jesus is the only one who rose from the dead. Your Savior was not just some clever guy that had some great solutions. He was the solution. He rose from the dead. He is alive. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a clap and a shout. He is alive. In John 11, 25, this is what Jesus says. The Bible says Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying." See, what makes the resurrection so powerful is that Jesus was the first to be resurrected. Because of his resurrection, you need to know that you will have eternal life and you too will be resurrected. I don't know about you, but that's great news. That's good news. People in the world will do whatever they can to live as long as they can. Even in the church, come on, we all want to live as long as we can. The reality is the day you truly give your heart to Jesus, the day you fully surrender your life to him, believe that he lived, he died, and rose again, you will live forever. Yeah. He is the resurrection. He also becomes your resurrection. It's when he lives in you. It's that same power that raised Christ from the dead that not only empowers your body, but will raise you as well one day. I don't know about you, but I am so grateful that I don't live wondering about what will happen when I die. I live with an eager anticipation and expectation for what God has for me in eternity. I know that my loved ones will be waiting for me. I know that when I get there, that they'll be cheering me on. They're cheering me on even now. The Bible says there's a great cloud of witnesses cheering you on to finish your race. But the truth is, there is only one way. There is only one way to experience that life. And that is through Jesus. He is the resurrection. You see, there are many people that believe, as I said earlier, they believe that Jesus died. But there are many religions and types of Christ that lived and died. But none of them rose from the grave except for him. In the Bible, in Corinthians, Paul shares with us about some of the eyewitnesses of the resurrection. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 3. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 3. Don't worry, let me be done when I'm finished. I passed on to you, watch this now, what was most important. So you must know that what he's about to share with us is what's most important. And what had been passed on to me, here it comes, Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. So what's most important is that he died for our sins, he was buried, and then he raised. Every part of that is essential to your salvation, because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, he wouldn't be God. Then in verse number 5, he begins to give an account of those that witnessed and actually saw him after the resurrection. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. And then Paul says, last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. Because we know that Jesus appeared to him as well. The moral of the story is that Jesus did not remain in the grave. He physically rose from the dead. And he still lives in his body, which has been glorified, which has been made new. And you need to know that you were created from the very beginning by God to live on this earth, but we know the story that we fell and we sinned, and now because of that, our body will die. But because of Christ being the firstborn, we will also be born again, even in our bodies. Are you guys with me? I don't want to get theological, so let's not go there this morning. But it's important. You see, it's important to understand that salvation, in order to be saved, in order to experience true salvation, the resurrection is such an imperative part of that salvation. Romans 10:9 says it like this. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. That's why when we make a declaration, when we give our lives to Jesus, we publicly make that confession, we stand to our feet, we raise our hands, we make a decision to serve him publicly. And when we do that, when we publicly confess him and we believe in our hearts, that's when we truly do begin to enter into salvation. He lives, he is Lord, and he has risen from the grave. The fact is that without the resurrection, our entire existence as believers would be absolutely pointless. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 14 says this, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty." 1 Corinthians 15, 17 says, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." How many of you are grateful that without a shadow of a doubt, even those that tried to refute it, tried to investigate it, Lee Strobel and all the guys did whatever they could, what ended up on the journey is they ended up getting saved. And the reason why they got saved was because they could not deny. The evidence was overwhelming. Jesus is alive. He's not dead, but he is risen. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you this morning that every other religion is dead. I'm here to tell you that Muhammad, he is dead. Buddha, he is dead. Krishna, he is dead. But Jesus Christ, he is risen. He is risen. And I want you to know something. I don't say that in an arrogant way. I don't say that in, see, it's not like that. Guys, I am so grateful that the King of the world, the God of the universe, because he loved us so much, was willing to send his son as a suffering servant to die on that cross, because there had to be pure, holy blood that was spilt so that you and I could be saved. And because of that sacrifice of pure, holy blood, on the third day, there was a power in that grave that raised Christ from the dead that is still available to take you out of your sin, out of your misery, out of your shame, out of your hurt, out of everything that the enemy wants to do, and raise you up into true life in this day and ultimately in the end, all the way into eternity. Hallelujah. Jesus is risen. And I love Good Friday, and we talk about the blood, and I'm so grateful for the blood because of what it does for us. But I'm so thankful that the tomb is empty. And that because of that, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning, there is nothing else, Lord, but gratitude. Total gratitude. Like that song said, Lord, it's nothing that we've done. It's not of ourselves. We are just so blessed that we have come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus is alive. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die for us so that we could have this life, so that we could know you on this earth all the way into eternity for the plans that you have for us. I'm so grateful that you've saved us. I'm so grateful that you love us and that we will always be with you. You will never leave us or forsake us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've come here this morning and you say, "Pastor Alex, I've listened to all the music this morning. I've heard the story. And I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to today make a decision to do what Scripture says, to believe that he died and rose so that I can also experience not only eternal life, but begin to live now here on earth, begin to know him, to begin to walk with him." If you've come here this morning and you want to give your heart to Jesus, remember what the Scripture says. You have to confess him before men. This morning, if that's you, start by raising your hand and saying, "Pastor Alex, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to give my life to him. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you in the back. I see you. Thank you so much. I see you over there in the back. God bless you. I see you, sir. Thank you so much. You guys can put your hands down. God bless you. If there's anybody else that says, Pastor, that's me. I came here this morning. My heart is stirred. I want to give my life to Jesus. Just raise your hand up and I'll include you in that prayer. I'm not going to drag this up. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. I see you. Thank you. Last call for this. I see you in the back. God bless you. God bless you over there. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. If you came here this morning, you say, Pastor, I used to walk with the Lord. I used to know him, but I've lost my way. I don't follow him anymore the way I used to. I've gone back to the things of this world, but this morning, this message has stirred my heart. This music, this what you guys have done here this morning has stirred my heart, and I want to run back to Jesus like the prodigal son. I want to fully commit my heart and life to him. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus this morning. I want to do it. I want to do it in this place. I want to do it publicly. If that's you, raise your hand so I can include you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see you. Thank you so much. God bless you. I see you. Thank you. Anybody else? I see you over there. Thank you so much, young man. Thank you so much. God bless you. Last call. Don't miss your hour of visitation this morning. If that's you and you say, I need Jesus. I need to run to him this morning. Quickly slip your hand up and I'll include you. Thank you so much. I see you over there. I see you right here. Right here. Thank you so much. God bless you. I see you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. If you raised your hands, quickly stand for me. Quickly stand. Make that public declaration. Stand up real quick. Stand up, sir. Stand up. God bless you. God bless you guys all over this church. God bless you. Come to me quickly. Come stand over here. Come. Come. Come quickly. Come. Come, guys. Don't be afraid. Come. Come quickly. Come. If they're in the back, let them come through. Come on, church. Let's give them a big round of applause. There's so many. So many. God bless you, man. Just stand right here. God bless you. God bless you, man. Thank you so much. Just stand right here. God bless you. Come. Come. God bless you. Just stand right here. God bless you. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. Hi. God bless you. God bless you. Keep coming. Keep coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you, guys. God bless you. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you, guys. Bless you, young man. Bless you, guys. Thank you so much. Praise God, man. Praise God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. This is the most important moment of your life. This is the moment that you make a choice to give your life to him. Man, I can tell you about the day that I did it in 1997. I'll never forget it. My life changed forever. But I remember when I stood like you guys did right here in the front to make that decision. I remember when I prayed the prayer, I prayed it with my whole life, my whole heart. I decided that this was the moment I was going to truly surrender to Jesus. I don't know how I got here, but from that moment, everything changed so much that here I am in America. I was in Africa, guys. But God shook me, changed me, and it was like everything was just completely changed. And I want you to know that he loves you so much. This whole service was for you. It was for you. So we're going to pray together, but I want you to pray from your heart this morning. Pray with your whole heart. Church, let's pray with him. Let's all say, Father, I come to you this morning. I believe Jesus died and rose again. He is my Lord. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. Write my name in your book of life. I surrender to you this morning in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for each and every one of these. Lord, never the same. Never the same. Let them never be the same again, Father. This young man, Your life's about to be turned inside out, young man. Like inside out. Because you've been in a real dark place. But God's about to shake some things and take you out of the loneliness, the brokenness, and he's about to heal your heart, and you will not be recognizable in 1 year from now. You'll be taken out of the pit, and you'll be placed in places of influence. They will not recognize you. They will be shocked at what the Lord will do. Father, I thank you for this precious lady. This is a moment of true dedication and decision. Just bless them, Lord. Never the same. Never the same. Never the same. New beginnings. The Lord's going to make you whole. He's going to heal your heart. He's going to restore the broken pieces. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Never the same, Lord. Lord, let them walk with you. Let them hear your voice, Holy Spirit. Let them know you, God. Like Paul said, that they would come to the knowledge of God. Lord, never the same. Precious man, precious man, precious young man. Never the same, never the same. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for this young man. Just touch his heart, Lord. Draw him to you in the mighty name of Jesus. These are yours, Lord. They are yours. Never the same, hey? New beginning, new beginnings, new beginnings. Young man, God's going to do an amazing work in your life in the name of Jesus. Just bless them, Lord. Just bless him, Lord. New beginnings in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give the Lord a big clap. Hallelujah. 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 If you guys take a look over there, there's Pastor Brian, and there's somebody behind you that wants to pray with you and meet you. Just bless this little one. Just follow them out. Church, let's give them a big round of applause. Just follow Pastor Brian. Bless you guys. Bless you guys. Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you, young man. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's give the Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap. Let's thank the Lord for what he's done. Amen. Amen. Bless you, brother. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Come on, let's stand to our feet and give the Lord some praise. Come on, stand to your feet and give him thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what, heaven is celebrating right now. Amen. Guys, I just want to thank you so much for coming out. I hope this morning has strengthened you, has encouraged you, has blessed you. I hope that loved ones and people you know have been touched. And even if you didn't come forward, if the Lord is touching your heart, I just pray that you take a hold of him with everything. He will do with you what is impossible, because he is the God of the impossible. Let me bless and release you. Father, we thank you. Father, we love you. We honor you in this place. All the glory, all the honor, and all the praise belongs to you. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with these that you love so much as they leave this place today. We honor you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Happy Resurrection Sunday. God bless you. We love you and we'll see you next week. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.